Good. If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to go with me to the book of John, chapter 8. The great freedom chapter in the Word of God. Modern versions distort the truth in this passage of Scripture because they change a couple words that ought not to be changed. I may not agree with his entire lifestyle, but I'm going to tell you something. I miss Rush Limbaugh. I really do. He made a lot of statements. I grew up listening to him as a young man. He helped me to understand a lot of things going on in our country, nation. But he had a phrase, and he said, words mean things. And I think that we've gotten away from that in a lot of ways. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate freedom. We've just gotten finished with Pride Month in America. It's a month where the depraved celebrate living in an open sin against an almighty God. And I cannot imagine us calling another month Pride Month for alcoholism or drugs or lying or thievery. But our nation is beginning to be conditioned to be okay with certain sins. May we celebrate freedom and quit celebrating sin in our nation. You want God to bless our nation? Whenever we truly get back to worshiping Him, then He can and He will. Here in this chapter, Jesus is making some statements that if you underline phrases, if you circle words in your Bible, if those of you that have a tablet or your phone that you read your Bible on, I would encourage you maybe to put your finger on it and highlight it in yellow. This is an incredible passage of Scripture. And it begins in verse number 31 for our reading today. John chapter 8, verse number 31, and let's back up. Let's read verse 30. I like it. It says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. What a great verse. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Here's a word. If you circle words, put a circle around the little word if. Much of your growth in the Christian life will be predicated on this little word if. If you do this, the Word of God is filled with many what we called when I was in Bible college, if-then statements. If you do this, then literally God is obligated to do that. Not because you control Him, but because God always keeps His Word. Notice what the if-then statement here is. He says, if ye continue in my Word, notice the little word here. Then are ye my disciples indeed. You want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know true freedom today, you must continue in the Word of God, even when it conflicts what you believe and what you want to do. And all God's people said, even if it conflicts what you're accustomed to doing, God wants to transform our lives. And He'll do that through the Word of God. True freedom is making Jesus Christ your Lord and Master. Next verse, and ye shall know the truth. Truth is not a concept. Truth is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the what? Truth. And you shall know the truth. How? If you continue in the Word of God, you will know Jesus. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall, here's the key word now, make you free. Many of the modern versions change this to set. Can I tell you, there's a huge difference between set and make. Let me give you the illustration. A bird is in a cage. If I set that bird free, what I'm going to do is open the door. But if I make that bird free, I'm going to open the door. I'm going to reach in with my hand. I'm allowed to step onto my hand, and I'm going to take it to a place where it feels comfortable, and I'm going to let it go. I'm going to compel it to be free. Whenever Jesus Christ makes you free, here's what He does. He reaches into your life. He takes you to a place where you can truly be free. He doesn't just open the door and say, okay, live however you want. No, He says, continue in my word. Whenever we follow Jesus, there are certain boundaries that He sets. And inside of those boundaries, we enjoy great freedom. Whenever you get outside of those boundaries, though, it's not freedom. Much of the world today, they want to go outside of the boundaries that God has set for us. And they say, well, I can enjoy freedom out there. No, whenever you get outside of the boundaries that God has set for you, it's not freedom, it's bondage. Whenever my children were little, we lived in a housing development where a bunch of old people lived in. A bunch. There was only like three of us that had children in it. The rest of them, they hated children. They were tired of them. No, they were a bunch of old Yankees that moved down to Florida. And here we were, a bunch of rednecks living in a retirement home village called Sunray Homes. Every bicycle except for our children's bicycle was a three-wheeler. We had a chain link fence in our backyard. Here was the rule in our house. By the way, it's okay for parents to make rules. I told my children, you guys can do whatever you want in the backyard inside the fence. If you go outside of the fence, you're in trouble. We didn't have to discuss what trouble was. They knew what it was. They were bad. They were wicked. Constantly having to whip them, especially Ashley. By the way, if you want to know what Tina looked like whenever she was younger, look at Ashley. It is scary. Not necessarily acted like her, but looked like her, right? I look at Ashley. Ashley came around the corner the other morning, or last time she was staying at our house, and I'm not lying. I walked in, I'm like, I was too tired, and I was thinking, who are you in my home? I thought I was having a dream. I thought, I'm a young man again. Not so true. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Jesus makes us free. They answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. By the way, that's a good little phrase to underline. That's that bondage. It's not freedom outside of God's boundaries. It's bondage. Whenever you begin to commit sin, begin to live in sin, guess who your master becomes? Sin. Sin will drag you down. It'll take you farther than you wanted to go. It'll cost you more than you wanted to pay. You can determine the beginning of where sin starts, but once you get involved in it, you cannot determine where it ends. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. Verse 36, if, there it is again, if the son therefore shall make you free. Here's one of the greatest statements in all the Word of God, you shall be free indeed. Penalty's been paid. Since the end of World War II, we as Americans have lived without the concern of having our freedom challenged on our own shores. In case you don't understand the whole Second Amendment in our Constitution, it was really designed so that American citizens would own firearms. And you got to remember, we were just overcoming, we were just defeating a tyrannical government. The last thing that our founding fathers wanted was another tyrannical government to take its place. So the Second Amendment was employed. Because of the Second Amendment, you have the First Amendment. Freedom to assemble together and freedom of speech. Without the second one, there is no first one, by the way. because they can take it away at will. But until September 11th, 2001, we never thought about a foreign invader invading our shores. That day changed everything in a lot of ways. We've always been a people that demanded freedom. Huh? Patrick Henry, one of our founding fathers, said, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Samuel Adams said, "The right of freedom is a gift of God Almighty. The principles of freedom are given throughout the New Testament." Here's one of those passages right here. The principle of freedom. In our text this morning, we see the words of Jesus Christ, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When Jesus came to this world, many of His followers thought He was coming to bring political reform. We fight that even today in our culture. But Jesus knew something that we need to know. Men living in the freest nation on the face of the earth can still live in the bondage of sin. No amount of reform will bring about true righteousness. We've tried it in times past. You can close down every abortion clinic. You can close down all the places of vice and sin. But men will still choose to die and go to hell. What we do not need today is reform. What we need today is transformation. Christian, quit trying to reform your life. Allow the Spirit of the living God to transform it from the inside out. And all God's people said, because many of us, we set those little rules in our life and we think, "Man, I'm going to be better. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to be more faithful to church if I just..." No, no, no. If you just get to know Jesus, all those things will automatically happen. You know why? Because He can transform you from the inside out. But when you try to do it on your own, here's what's going to happen. You're not going to have freedom. You're going to be in bondage and you're going to be miserable. The greatest thing you can do is this passage here. Go back with me, verse number 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him..." You could put on there, you could put in that passage, "Then said Jesus to those Christians that believed on Him." Because that's what a Jew becomes whenever they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone that believes on Jesus Christ becomes a Christian. "Then those Jews which believed on Him," here's what He said, "If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." True freedom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing Him. How do you know Him? I'm glad you asked. Read the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to come into your life. Sometimes we have to cry out. I wasn't going to do this, but I am going to do it now. I'm looking at the clock. I don't know how much time. I didn't start my timer yet, so I'm going to start it right now. All right? That was all introduction anyway. Psalm chapter 51. Psalm 51. Hold your finger here in John 8. We'll be back to there. But I don't know about you, but every once in a while, well, let me ask you this question. How many of you have gotten to a place in your life at different times and you knew that there was sin between you and God and you just kind of struggled with that and you didn't know how really to pray, but you just wanted that openness between you and God again, but you were just kind of stuck? How many of you ever been there before? I'm raising my hand because that's me, all right? By the way, one of the greatest kings, one of the greatest Christians in the Word of God was King Daniel. Or David. I'm sorry, King David. David was a man after God's own heart. He loved God. Now, did he commit sin? Absolutely. There are two events that most of us remember about David. One was he killed Goliath. I'm just asking, is that true? What was the other thing? Same with Bathsheba, right? The good and the bad. But you know, What happened right here in Psalm 51? He was stuck. He had a sin and he just didn't know what to do. You know, every once in a while, I believe we as Christians, every once in a while, we just need to kind of pray through Psalm 51. If you don't know this psalm, if this psalm is new to you, you mark it somehow. Note the words. This is David, a man after God's own heart, after his sin with Bathsheba, after he's been called out, after all the things that are going on, he murdered his friend. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness and according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. Now my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned. I underline that in my Bible because every sin truly is against God and God alone. And done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. What he's saying is, he says, Lord, I've always been a sinner, and I don't know what to do with this. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Can you hear what he's asking God to do? Make me to hear joy and gladness at the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Notice verse number 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I'm going to tell you, every once in a while, Christian, you just need to turn to Psalm 51 and just walk through that a little bit and say, okay, God, here I am. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me. Here's something that most of us, we know whenever we're not where we ought to be with God. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. When you've lost your joy, you're not where you ought to be at with God. There's a sin somewhere. There's something going on. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Notice what happens whenever God forgives you, and that's what this is about. This is about forgiveness. This is about God cleansing a heart and restoring a right relationship again. And then notice what King David writes. He says, then, after all of this, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You know what he's saying? I'm going to declare it from the mountaintop that my God forgives. You know what he's saying? I'm going to celebrate freedom. I'm going to celebrate freedom that's found only in knowing Jesus Christ is my Savior, and having a right relationship with Him. And there's too many Christians today that have lost their joy. Too many Christians today that have dabbled in sin. You've gotten into bondage. It's time to come out of that. I don't care what the devil says. The devil says, well, you've gone too far. That's not true. You can never go too far. As long as you're breathing, there's a chance for forgiveness and restoration. Freedom. Even if I'm in the darkest prison cell imaginable, bound by chains, facing death for a refusal to recant my belief in the Word of God, I'll still be free. I'll still be free because almost 40 years ago, I knelt and I asked for the freedom that only Jesus Christ can give. All the world, though, unfortunately, they can't experience the freedoms that we as Americans enjoy. There's a lot of them that want to. Maybe we ought to swap. For some of those athletes that want to kneel and want to turn their backs. You know, if you... I'm going to go off on a little rant here, all right? Is that okay? All right? If you're going to be an athlete on Team USA, you know what that means? You ready? You're on Team USA. And if you don't want to be on Team USA, here's what you do. You get off of Team USA. And let somebody that would love to be on Team USA be on Team USA. But don't make a fool out of yourself. And turn your back on our national anthem when just 3 years ago you stood with a flag draped around you and your hand over your heart. You lying, thieving piece of trash. That's free. Okay, all right. Oh, boy. I'm glad for Facebook and all the rest because it exposed that hypocrisy. And that's what that is. Hypocrisy. There again, if you don't want to be on the team, don't get on the team. But if you're on the team, act like you love it. Because there's a lot of people that sacrifice for you to be on Team USA. Little Missy. Okay. And then the whole transgender thing with all the Olympics. Okay. There's a price that's been paid for spiritual freedom. Amen? When you walk in this building, you know what you see? See that cross back there? You know what that reminds us of? There's a price that's been paid. You know why we go to church? You know why we sing? You know why we witness? Why we are trying to get children to come to a vacation Bible school? The reason why at the fairs that we'll pass out gospel tracts and we'll confront people with the gospel? You know why? Because there's been a price that's been paid for our freedom. And as David said in Psalm 51, he says, whenever I'm forgiven, whenever I'm cleansed, then I'll teach transgressors thy way. Then I'll tell others about the freedom that I enjoy. There's a price. There was a sacrificial price. There was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. There's a price. There's a way. Amber, I'm sorry, I'm on number two. I'm rambling today a little. I'm hungry. Same about watermelon. I brought my running shoes because I'm going to bury Joanne in the relay race. I'm so excited. That little old lady's going to suffer, I'm telling you. Amen. I'm on Team USA, bless God, and I'm going to act like it. I don't care who my competition is. Joanne, I still love you, but I'm going down. You know, we're here today because there's been a price. We're here today because there's a way. You hear all these celebrities become spiritual leaders and politicians and all the rest. But they make statements like this: all roads lead to heaven. What? All roads don't lead to the airport. So why would all roads lead to heaven? What a foolish statement. And people are like, oh, they're so smart. And I'm thinking, they're dumb. They have no idea. The ark had a whole bunch of rooms, but you know what it only had? One door. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. That's the way, by the way. The way to spiritual freedom is through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By grace. Grace is the unmerited love and favor of Almighty God. You and I have the opportunity to either trust Christ, or we have trusted Christ because of grace. Grace was extended to you and I, not based on who we are or what we did. But it's not just of grace, it has to be of faith also. Faith. I was reading and I was thinking, what's a good definition for faith? I remember hearing about two little boys that were standing at the edge of the pond, and one was, his name was Billy, and the other one's name was Tom. How about that? Or we call them Bryce and Andrew, but we'll call them Billy and Tom. All right? So Billy and Tom are standing there, and Billy says, "I think the ice is thick enough for us to go out on." And Tom says, "You really do?" And he said, "Well, yes, I do." And then Tom said, "Well, why don't you go out there?" And Billy said, "No, I don't want to." And Tom said, "So you don't believe it's thick enough for you?" You know what Tom was saying? Tom was saying, "I'm not going to walk on your faith. I'm going to walk on mine." You can't get to heaven based on somebody else's faith. It has to be yours. You can't sit beside a Christian in church and hope to become one. No more than Billy Sunday said, you can't stand in the garage and hope to become a car. It doesn't happen like that. There has to have been a transaction in your life at one point. One of the things that we ask people at the fair is this: has anybody ever taken a Bible and shown you how to go to heaven? You know why? Because there's a lot of people that have been baptized, a lot of people that have joined a church, a lot of people that have done a whole lot of other things, but they've never placed their faith in Jesus Christ. A few years ago, a man had an opportunity to visit the farm of Patrick Henry at Red Hill. And on his tombstone, Patrick Henry, he referenced his will. And in his will, he wrote, "There is one thing more I wish I could leave you all, the salvation of Jesus Christ. With this, though you had nothing else, you could be happy. Without this, though you had all things, you could never be happy." I think about my nation today, our nation today. And I think of these thoughts. No one is born patriotic. It must be instilled through habitual practice. That was one of the reasons why the Pledge of Allegiance and those types of things were always important in our schools. Each generation must rekindle its allegiance to our country in reverence for our nation's past. One is written, how do we preserve our heritage for future generations? It would be simple if it would be like mason jars that could be filled with the blood that was shed while the Star-Spangled Banner was written. Or maybe it could be filled with the sweat and tears of those who fought against real Nazism. Or maybe those mason jars could be filled with the breath of some who gave all in the desert in the Middle East to free people from a tyrannical dictator. But that accomplishment cannot be bottled for future generations. It must be taught. It must be instilled. Our national heritage must be preserved within the human heart. Each generation must come to the place of appreciation for the sacrifices made and determined to pass them on to the next generation. We've been given great freedoms in this nation because of God's design and the sacrifice of many. Let us determine to make the most of those freedoms. But we also have the freedom to worship today. According to the direction of the Word of God, let us determine to follow God's Word today. No one is born patriotic. It must be instilled. No one is born a Christian. That must be taught by another Christian. In other words, Christianity, like patriotism, must be instilled in each succeeding generation. There's a gift to spiritual freedom. There's a price. The cross reminds us of that. There's a way. Grace, faith. There are gifts. Forgiveness. Look at your text today where we're at. John 8, verse 34 says, Jesus answered them, and he said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. We know this. All of us have come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Sin. How do you describe people refusing to confess that they're sinners? I read an illustration recently, and at one point I had college freshmen, and this rang a bell with me. Here's the story. A college freshman went to the dorm laundry room with his dirty clothes. Of course, it had to be him. Dirty clothes bundled into an old sweatshirt. But he was so embarrassed by how dirty his clothes were that he never opened the bundle. He merely pushed it all into the washing machine and put soap in there and turned it on. When the washing machine stopped, he pushed the bundle out, or took it out, and he pushed it into the dryer and let it dry. After he was finished, he finally took it out and took it back to his dorm room, and he was so excited, and he opened up the bundle, and guess what he had? A bundle of dirty clothes still. You know why? Because he never unbundled them. I can remember when my kids would come home at different times from college or other places, and they would load our washing machine up. It took us years. In fact, I don't even know if Amber still understands that you cannot load the washing machine all the way up to the top with various types of clothes and hope they all come clean. Whenever you and I go before God, we cannot remain bundled up. All of us have dirty parts in our lives. And God cannot get to those and clean them unless we open up the bundle. And all God's people said. He said, well, I've been a Christian for a long time. Okay. Do you know that the inward types of sins will destroy us quicker than the outward types? Anger, bitterness, hate, unforgiveness, lust, envy. And we could go right on down the list. Many times those secret, unknown sins that are all bundled up that nobody else sees will never get forgiveness until we open that up before God and say, God, will you forgive me of this? Can I tell you a secret today? When you ask Him for forgiveness, He always forgives. And when God forgives, He'll never bring it back up to you again. A gift. A man may go to heaven without health, without riches, without honors, without learning, without friends, but he can never go there without Jesus. Sunday school teacher asked her class, little boys and girls, how many of you would like to go to heaven? All of them raised their hand except for Derek. She said, Derek, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, my mom told me to come straight home after Sunday school. Amen. You'll get that later on, Wendell. Last verse today, verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate freedom of being in the greatest country on the face of the earth. And if you don't believe so, go somewhere else. I promise you, it won't take but a little bit of time outside of these borders to find out how wonderful America really is. Celebrate your freedom in Christ. I promise you, it won't take but a little bit of time outside of the boundaries that God has set for you to realize how good you had it whenever you were free in Jesus. Oh,
there is freedom to be enjoyed when you continue in His Word, when you allow Him to make you free. The question is, will you? Will you? I want to be free. I want to die free as an American. I want to die free as a Christian that walks with my Savior. But oh, so many things I allow into my life. May today we truly, as believers, celebrate not just the freedom of salvation, but the freedom of a right relationship with the Holy God. Is there sin in your life, my life, that I'm holding on to? You'll never enjoy complete freedom in Jesus until you give Him all. And we're not just talking about outward sins, outward things. You say, well, No. I'm telling you, I believe that more Christians struggle with those inward sins than they do with the others. If God's put His finger on something in your dirty laundry bundle that's bundled up, you've been washing it and washing it, you say, nothing changes. Well, it's time for you to open that bundle up. I say, okay, God. That's what King David did in Psalm 51. Maybe it won't happen here. Maybe it'll happen today or tonight. And you'll just simply graze through Psalm 51. Don't forget that chapter. And just read through that and pray through those verses like it's you praying to God in David's stead. I'm going to tell you something. God will use that chapter. God will use that to truly set you free if you'll let Him. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son, therefore, make you free, you shall be free indeed." There may come a point where we lose our freedoms here in America because freedom won by men can be lost by men. But freedom made by Jesus Christ can never be lost. Celebrate freedom in Jesus. Head bowed, eyes closed. How many here today say, "Preacher,